God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So nice to see you all. Can y'all hear me on the porch? Okay? All right. Well, it's great to be here. This is my first time, my first Sunday here at Chapel of Transfiguration. My name's Joe Gibbs, and I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. The mountains there are not as big as they are here. But it's so great to be here, and so glad that you're here. I look forward to hearing where you're from, and in just a little while, some of you are from here. One of the things I do at Church of Our Savior in Jacksonville is I lead a men's Bible study. I love doing that, and a few weeks ago, we were studying Luke chapter 8, and you may know that Luke chapter 8 is the same story that we have in our gospel passage here in Mark chapter 5. This is Jesus healing the bleeding woman and Jairus' daughter. And one of the guys in the study, when we were done, he was kind of a boisterous guy. He said, man, those guys in Hollywood are missing it. And I said, what do you mean? He said, this story is tailor-made for a movie. And I thought, well, gosh, I wonder what a movie about this would look like. And I began to imagine that, and I invite you to imagine it with me as well. And so as I picture it in my mind's eye, it's set in period, so about 30 A.D. It's on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, a little small fishing village called Capernaum. So we're about 60 miles north of Jerusalem, I believe, on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum is where Jesus was doing his ministry. And as this movie opens up, the opening scene, we're in a relatively well-furnished home, and there's woman lets out a cry, a scream, and she's in labor. She's having a child, and there's a team of midwives around her, and the baby is born, and they call in the father who's been pacing outside, and his name is Jairus. And he comes in, and he meets, for the first time, his daughter. And this is a faithful family. We find out that Jairus has even established himself among the junior leadership there in the local synagogue. And so joyfully, husband and wife hold up their baby girl, and they pray for her. And they pray, they give thanks to God for the favor that he's shown them, and they pray for her long life and health and for her faith. But as we see that everything's okay with the baby, the cameras pan out the window, maybe like out the window right here, to the crowded street, and a woman is running past. And she has a worried look on her face. She's an attractive young woman, but she's worried. She's running through this crowded street, and she just hopes that no one notices the spots of blood that she's leaving on the dirt road behind her. And she makes her way to the local physician's house. And her sister meets her there, and the physician is concocting this expensive mix of herbs and oils that might help. And as she's waiting, she talks with her sister about how this bleeding is going to make her ceremonially unclean. She's not going to be allowed to worship alongside her family and friends in the synagogue that week. Hopefully this concoction will work. But of course, it doesn't work. And week becomes week after week. And so, in this movie, we go back and forth between this family and this woman. And we get to know their stories over the course of 12 years. And we see Jairus and his family continue to rise in local prominence. And we see as these little vignettes that we see the very close bond that he forms with his daughter. But we also see that Jairus becomes the synagogue ruler, or essentially the senior pastor of the synagogue there in Capernaum. And because social status and religious practice were so closely tied together in that day, we see that this family's life is happy. They seem to have all the favor of God upon them. They are given special deference around town, and most assume that God has really blessed this family. And so in this movie, Jairus is the character that the audience relates to aspirationally, right? We aspire, in one sense, to Jairus because he's got his life together. He's a model citizen, unlike my family and maybe your family. His family is functional, right? And so, he's a good man, and things seem to be going right for good old Jairus. But then there's this bleeding woman, and back and forth we get to know her as well. And over these 12 years, a very different story for her. She's growing more harried, more pallid and pale because of the iron deficiencies that she has over this chronic bleeding. And she becomes poorer and poorer because she's spending all her money on these doctors that aren't doing her any good. And her bleeding's continuing. She's tried every doctor from here to Jerusalem, and nothing seems to be working. In one scene, perhaps she's faced with the terrible decision of spending the last of her inheritance from her late father, selling off his last bit of property so that she can pay this doctor that she knows is probably not going to help. She spends all her days, as we get to know her, outside of the religious life of the community. She's unclean. She can never worship. She can never participate in the religious life of the town. And so the talk around town after these years develops that God is probably punishing her for some evil misdeed that she's done. You know, after a while, you know how it is. I mean, you begin to believe your own press. And she wonders, is there something wrong with me? And eventually the money's gone, and any standing or status that she had is gone, and her hope is gone. And if the director of this movie does it right, then this woman is the character that we relate to practically. Because we've all been there, right, in one way or another. And we've had tragedy strike. We've gotten the bad news from the doctor, or our loved one has. We've felt isolated and alone. We felt like we've been abandoned by God on some level, at least. And so this woman, I mean, you know, she's no role model, but there's just something so human about her. And whatever it is in your story, we know that, and on some level, in some way, we find ourselves in her story. And so in 12 years, as we see through this movie, in 12 years, in this small town, the lives of these two lives never intersect. Jairus and his family and this woman, the happy, upwardly mobile, religious family, never intersects with the increasingly poor, downwardly spiraling, isolated, bleeding woman. But then in this movie, the girl, the little girl that we've known her since birth, right? She falls ill, and what looks initially like a common virus turns out to be much worse. And the doctors, again, they're just not able to help, and death seems imminent. The condition gets grave, and then in our movie, there's this neat scene that goes back and forth really rapidly, where Jairus and this woman, they're both speaking to a friend, but it's essentially the same conversation. And they hear that this man is coming, this healer is coming to town. He's young, and he's from backwater Nazareth, but you know, the stories about what he's been able to do are just mind-blowing. And his name is Jesus, and some say that God is with him, some say that he is God. And so maybe he can help, maybe he can provide the healing that we're so desperate for. So Jairus heads out to look for Jesus in this small town. He's not hard to find. I mean, he's the one at the center of the mob down by the shore. And Jairus' prominence gets him easily through the crowd. And he's there in front of Jesus, and he begs him, please, my daughter is dying. Will you come and help? And Jesus agrees, and Jairus' heart springs with hope. And even yet, I mean, this crowd is such that with 12 men around Jesus, it's still hard for Jesus to get through the crowd. Jairus is laser focused. He's got to get to his daughter. But then the crowd becomes quiet, eerily quiet. And Jairus turns around and he sees that Jesus has stopped. And he's thinking, my daughter, and the disciples seem to be a little embarrassed on behalf of Jairus. You know, he's this prominent man, but Jesus is resolute. Who touched me? Says Jesus. And to our astonishment, the crowd parts, and this poor, pallid woman comes forth. And she tells him the whole story. And there's this incredible tension in this movie because there's two ends of the societal spectrum here. Two ends. And both have come to Jesus with their need. And the crowd, and particularly the disciples, seem confused because here's Jesus, he's this man of God, and he seems to have put off prominent religious Jairus to attend to this completely outcast woman. But what's worse, I mean, what's more confusing is that this woman's been sick for years. Can't it wait another hour? This little girl, I mean, she's dying. So the audience that's watching our movie feels conflicted. We're heartened, right, to see Jesus' kindness to such a relatable character as this woman. He calls the outcast daughter. He affirms the faith of the one that everyone else assumed was faithless. And our hearts leap when he confirms what we have hoped for, that her struggle is over. And that her faith in Jesus has healed her. And yet, what about the sick little girl? And so the camera, we see over the shoulder of this woman that Jairus is shifting uneasily. And then some people come up to him and catch his ear, and his face drops. His daughter's dead. And at least for me, this is the most human moment of the whole movie. Even more relatable than the broken woman is the desperate man who's just trying to do the right thing for his family, but his hopes are dashed by cruel irony. And with Jairus, I mean, there's this emotion is welling up in our chest. I mean, he was so close. If only the woman hadn't grabbed Jesus' cloak, if only Jesus hadn't stopped. This is the crisis moment. And this is the moment that we in the audience were caught between crying for Jairus and cheering for the woman. And all of a sudden we see that their roles have been reversed. Jairus is now the one we relate to, and the woman is now the one we aspire to. We feel pity for Jairus, and we want to be like the woman who's been healed and touched. And I love this scene, this gospel scene, because suddenly we see these two from opposite ends of the spectrum, that they do have an intersection. They do have a commonality. In fact, it's a commonality that all of us share, and that is that we have a point of need. We have something in our lives that we can't fix. We need a hero. We need a savior to come in from the outside to fix it for us. To the bleeding woman, I mean, her bleeding has stopped, and yet Jairus' daughter is dead. But this isn't a movie about Jairus and a bleeding woman. This is a movie about Jesus. And with Jesus, we know that death doesn't make the credits roll, right? And so Jesus makes his way to Jairus' house, and I mean, everybody knows this is a fool's errand. They didn't have a lot of technology. They knew what dead was, right? And so they know this girl's dead. And then Jesus reaches down into death and says, "Honey, wake up." And she does. So if this movie does it right, and it tells us a few things. It tells us that no matter where you are on the social spectrum, no matter what your religious background, no matter what your need is, that Jesus will meet you right there. That he has come for you. Not against you. He's come for you. And this movie would also tell us that death isn't the end of the story for those whose faith is in Christ. That this girl coming back to life would point us ahead to Jesus' own death and resurrection. Because, you know, that's where, in his death on the cross, that's where he took all of our need. He took all of our guilt and all of our shame and all our anxiety, all of our sin. And he died and he took it all to hell with him, and then he left it there and rose again to offer you and me eternal life. So that your hope might be restored, that you might have a life of joy in this life and in the next. And so whether you find yourself a little more like Jairus, or a little more like the bleeding woman, male or female, rich or poor, in church all your life, or sort of on the outside looking in, you've got a point of need. You know what it is, and Jesus knows what it is. And that place of need is where Jesus will meet you. With restored hope, with dignity, with forgiveness, and with the promise of everlasting life. At least if the movie does it right. Amen.
Amen.